Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Thanks again for hanging out for another show of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Listen, guys, before I start every show, you already know I always like to take a few moments right up front to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that there's somebody out there that's listening, that's encouraged, inspired, or motivated to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. So listen, guys, thanks again for hanging out with me. And this week is just like any other. You guys know that whenever I bring a guest onto the show, I always bring on the amazing guests with fire stories. And today is no different. So today I have something special for you guys. Today I have another individual who also happens to be in a wheelchair as well. And she's a wheelchair user on a mission to help individuals see the opportunities in their obstacles. And you guys know how I love talking about that. She's the founder of Wheel With Me Foundation, the owner of Wheel With Me Consulting. She's an actor and a full-time student with her insights set on PhD in psychology and a career in politics. Come on, guys. There's no excuse at all. Through her struggles, she works to teach individuals the power of our mindset. And you know, as the mindset disruptor, that is what I'm all about. So today, buckle your seatbelts, because we are going to go on a ride of your lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, help me in welcoming Jesse Strahan to the show. Thank you so much, Jesse, for hanging out with me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful that, you know, you brought me on to share some perspective.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think, I'm sorry, it's Strahan, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Strahan, my bad. I'm sorry about that. Jesse Strahan. But listen, guys, we're about to have some fun. So like I said, buckle your seatbelts. Listen, Jesse, I was looking at your website and I love your attitude, your personality. I actually saw you on one of my friends, one of our mutual friends' podcasts. And I said, oh man, I got to get her on the show. So I reached out to you through Instagram. You gladly accepted the invitation. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate, you know, you opening up your audience to me and letting me share what I've been through. So the motorcycle accident that put me in a wheelchair, you know, my wheelchair using life looks a little different from yours. I'm a full-time manual wheelchair user, but I'm slowly recovering from this life. And it all started when I took accountability for my life. I went the first 2 years of my injury with no sensation or movement below my chest. Wow. And I kept falling on the floor, which I know, you know, when you fall on the floor, you're like, crap, how am I going to get back? What am I going to do? And there would be time after time, I'd be laying on the floor for hours waiting for somebody to come home. And I just got so fed up. I posted a meltdown video on my YouTube. And I'm like melting down about this life and how miserable I am and how no one gets it. And I had a lot of response. And when I realized the impact that my words had the potential to have, I'm like, girl, you need to be putting some positive content out there. You don't want to keep putting this negative, because I don't want to add to the negative narrative that's already in our world. I want to leave a positive legacy, right? I want to help people realize that positivity is really what breeds power, what breeds your power as an individual. And so I changed my whole mindset. I started working out. I started physically and mentally working out, which the mental side is never talked about. It's like, oh, go to the gym, but what are you doing for your mental mindset? Are you visualizing? Are you meditating? What are you doing to quiet your mind and get control of your thoughts? And not enough people talk about that. They don't talk about their mental diet either. It's all about your physical diet. Well, what are you doing mentally? I stopped scrolling social media. I unfollowed things that made me feel bad or negative or sad. And I started filtering people in my life. Unfortunately, their season had ended and it was time to move on. And when you look at every aspect of your life and really break it down and see what value or what it's taking away, it really makes you conscious about who you let in, what you let in, what content, what you do. And it transforms your whole being.
That's amazing. Now, how soon after your motorcycle accident did you, in essence, bounce back mentally?
I lost sound for a second. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
Yeah, you know, I was saying, how soon after your motorcycle accident did you, in essence, bounce back mentally?
It took me that 2 years. I, like every person that typically gets a spinal cord injury, we spend too much money and too much time trying to walk again and only focusing on that. And in reality, you have this accident and all hope has been taken away. And that's any trauma in life, essentially. Like, hope's taken away for a second. You lose a loved one. You experience something traumatic, a brain injury, an accident, a broken bone, even a car accident, whatever it is, your hope is taken away for a second. And so that was the one thing I wish someone would have told me, hey, focus on being healthy and happy and just having hope for your future. And so it took me a solid 2 years to really adjust, where I focused on walking for the first year. And then the second year, I just started trying adaptive sports and getting involved in the community. And the more I got involved in the community, the more I saw other wheelchair users killing it. I'm like, why not me? Why can't I do it?
What were some of the thoughts you were having within that 2 year period, like that you felt that maybe were holding you back or that were negative? What was your mindset like when this whole thing first happened?
There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. How am I going to do this? And then there was a time where it's like, well, you know, I'm paralyzed, so I don't have to work out anymore. No one's ever going to find me attractive. I'm not going to be able to really do much. I can't work. I can't go out. I can't go to the gym. What do I do there? And it was like, I had all these things of what I couldn't do. And I had these limitations. And a big word being used in the disabled community is ableism, which I hate that word so much because I think it's a crutch. And I believe that ableism is counterproductive to our growth as a society. We've got to stop dividing ourselves. We're Americans first.
Enabling, yeah.
And I'm so sick of the disabled community, all these minorities want to just continue to divide themselves further. And it's like, yo, if you want to be treated like an equal, stop being treated like you're special. Like, that's one thing we've got to let go as a person. And it was like, I was like, oh, I'm a wheelchair user now, so I'm special, I'm different. And in reality, no, like, you're still an individual just living your life. It just looks a little different from everyone else's. And so the sooner that I realized that and let go of the fact that I'm disabled, it just empowered me. I was holding on to all these ideologies that I had about disability without really looking into myself and saying, what can Jesse accomplish? Mm-hmm. You have to let go of whatever it is that's holding you back, or that crutch that you've been using, whether it be your race, your disability, whatever your minority is. I'm poor. I came from a split household. There's so many things that we use as an excuse to why we're not where we want to be. But in reality, every single hour of every single day is scheduled for me. I have to schedule my days or I won't be able to accomplish things at the level I'm able to accomplish them now. Like, when I'm in school, I hardly look at my phone. It stays on do not disturb, right number, wrong time. I don't have time to cater to other people's needs right now because I have to focus on me. And I think we get so caught up in pleasing everyone else around us that we forget about the one person that is the most important being in our life, and that's ourselves. And until you're willing to take care of yourself and do what's going to make you happy and stop living for other people to make them happy, you're not going to find that. You're not going to have a fulfilled life. Life is about helping people. Don't get me wrong. That's my whole platform. But at the same time, you can't help anyone if you're not going to help you. And that's physically and mentally.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that, that, you know, you're no good to anybody else if you're not good to yourself.
Exactly. And if you're willing to treat yourself, like, I don't talk down to myself. I don't talk bad to myself. Because if I allow myself to talk to me like that, how am I going to let other people treat me? You know, you've got to hold yourself to a higher standard before, one, you can expect that from other people, or two, you can go out and treat other people. You can't treat other people better than you're willing to treat you.
That's right. That's right. I love it. You know, one of the things that I admire about you, Jesse, is that you're so transparent and you're authentic to who you are right now, to who you are and the way that you have to live now. And again, I was looking through your website and I was reading some of your blogs, and there's two of them that I want to talk about real quick, because I only read two of them, but there was one of them that had a title and it's very catchy. And what I love about that as well is that First of all, I love the way you write. I love your sense of humor as well. But one of the titles said, "Why I Wear Pull-Ups." And it's like one of those things where you look at it and be like, pull-ups, right? Like, you know, people outside the wheelchair community probably don't know what it's like, right? But I love the fact that you're so open and transparent about it, because for me, when I first ended up in a wheelchair, I was like terrified of people knowing how I had to live, like behind the scenes. And I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. I felt like I didn't want nobody to know what my quote unquote disability looked like inside my house. And it wasn't until I actually started to feel kind of comfortable in my own skin, so to speak, and be content with where I am. And I started to, even like as recent as maybe 7 years ago, and like I said, I'm going to be 44, but even up until like 7 years ago, my wife was like, "Babe, you need to start letting people know. Like, people want to know, like, how do you live your life? Like, how is it behind the scenes?" And it wasn't until I started doing that, and posting about it, that people were like, I can put like a motivational, inspirational post and it'll get some love, but I put something that's like real life stuff that I have to go through behind the scenes. And like I posted a video yesterday actually of my wife piggybacking me out of the pool, because the pool lift had broken at the resort that we were at. So she had to piggyback me out of the pool. And I'm telling you, that thing went like mini viral. And it's just like those type of things is what people want. But you had this one that said, "Why I Wear Pull-Ups." And there's a picture of you sitting with the pull-up on it. And I just thought that was so cool. Tell us what made you, you know, write about that.
Honestly, I was so sick of people telling me, "I hope you walk again." I'm like, shit, I don't give a damn about walking. Let me get my bladder back, okay? Let me wear some lacy panties and not have to worry about pissing myself. Because what people don't realize, well, they're like, "Well, just wear the panties, and if you pee, you change." Well, yeah, then I have to wash my cushion cover. I have to wash my cushion because I have a honeycomb cushion, so it goes all down in there. And then I have to let it dry out because it goes down in there and it takes a while to dry out. And it's like every single minute of my day is scheduled. I don't have time to be disabled. I don't have time. Like, I already schedule a little bit of time for my disability and things that might come up, but I don't have time to add to that. So for convenience sake, like, let me wear this pull up. And so many people are embarrassed about it. I was getting those DMs of like, "Hey, what do you do for incontinence?" I'm like, "Yo, I wear a pull up. Like, I mean, I cap and I take bladder spasm meds, and I still, for the accidents, that's my safety blanket." And just being confident in who you are. Like, a lot of, I had a lot of people think that I'm kind of a B, and I'm like, I'm actually a really sweet person. I'm not gonna sugarcoat. I'm not gonna bullshit you. Like, this is what life is. This is what my individual life looks like. And I think that's part of the reason I'm single, is because a lot of boys these days aren't manly men that can fucking handle the shit that we go through. Like, sometimes I have an accident. It happens. A lot of times I pee myself. That happens. Like, I fall out of my chair. I get upset some days. It's rare, like you said, it's rare to get mentally overwhelmed. But on a day where my lift breaks and now I have to carry myself up the stairs and my shoulders are screaming at me because they're toast from a workout I did a couple days ago. And it's like, they're like, "Chill, lady, chill." And it's like, you have all of these things reminding you how disabled you are. Okay, then you have a bad day, but you've got to move on from it. And so many people get stuck in their current situation, or this mindset of, "Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad." And again, focusing on what you have, what do you have to be grateful for? I'm like, okay, so at least I have use of my arms. I have use of my hands. I have the availability of a pull up that when I do pee myself, I can do that real quick. I can calf myself. You know, I have my wheelchair. It's full. My tires are full of air. I'm rolling good. Like, there's so many small things that we have to be grateful for, that if you really take a moment and say them out loud and be like, "I have all of this," you're like, "Wow,
that's a change."
What was I complaining about 5 minutes ago? Because now I don't even remember, because my cup is over full. You have to constantly, we're human beings, we forget that short-term memory. You have to remind yourself, "Hey, you have this. Hey, your cup is full. Hey, this isn't the end of your world."
So for somebody that's listening out there right now that may, you know, they may, maybe they are in a wheelchair, maybe they have some type of physical, you know, condition, or maybe it's not physical and it's mental. What are some things that you would suggest? Because you seem pretty mentally tough and resilient like I am. But what are some things that you would suggest to those that, you know, because they may be saying like, oh, well, that sounds, you know, easier said than done type of thing, right? Well, that sounds great, but how do you actually put that into practice? Like outside of, you know, having that attitude of gratitude and being thankful for the things that we do have and not focusing on the things that we don't have, what are some other things that you've done personally that have been able, that have allowed you to be able to develop this mental toughness that you carry with yourself?
Building a solid support system. I think having a circle of people that, one, are very supportive of you and where you want to go, not enabling people that are willing to shoot you straight and be like, that's going to work or that's not going to work.
How do you do that? How do you build a supportive system that of people that are going to challenge you?
So for me, I joined support groups to get the disabled side of it. And then I just went out and the more people I met, got to know, I just began to surround myself with people that were where I wanted to be or doing things that I wanted to be. So like my best friend, I met her 4 years ago now, and her husband raced supercross, and then she owns her own business and she does car detail or touch up paint for all these used cars in the local area. And I'm like, yo, this woman's a boss ass chick. She's got like two girls working under her. She's going around doing touch up paint on Mercedes, you know, at these local dealerships, and like just a boss chick. And I'm like, I want to be a boss chick in my personal realm. Awesome. And it's just getting over the fear. I think fear really truly stops us. What's the worst thing that someone's going to say to you? No, I don't want to be your friend. No, I don't want to. No, you can't do that. Or no, I'm not going to support your cause. Okay, move on. The worst thing that anyone's ever going to tell you is no. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to fail. Worst thing that's going to happen, you know, you have to learn from what just happened and try again. Like, it's our failure is where our growth is developed. And I've fallen on my face a lot. I've taken a lot of risks and those doors got shut in my face. But then I did it again. Just like with my calendar, I put out a calendar 2 years in a row now, and literally all I did was just take the pictures, put it all together, put the motivational content in it, the key tools to building whatever life it is, staying in line with your goals, just reminding people monthly to continue to be great and do whatever it is they're trying to work towards. And I just did it. It's just putting it out there and taking that risk. And the more willing you are to take risks, to open your mind to the possibilities, reading the content, listening to podcasts. I think podcasts are big for me. That's where I really started listening to Eric Thomas and then Gary Vee and then Andy. And it's like listening to these people that are where I want to be. So it's literally surrounding yourself with that vibe and then feeling it, really realizing that, wow, I can do this. Like seeing Madison Cawthorn just win the congressional district, youngest individual to be in Congress, also he's been paralyzed the same amount of time as me. And so that's what really did it for me. I'm like, dude, we've been paralyzed the same time and you're in Congress. Like, what have I been doing these past 5 years? And then Holding yourself accountable. Like, you have to get so fed up in your current situation. And that's what happened to me. I was so unhappy. I gained 30 pounds. I wasn't able to get myself back in my wheelchair from the floor. I just looked in the mirror and I didn't like who I saw physically or mentally. And I was so fed up with who I allowed myself to become that I was like, okay, I allowed myself to get here. Mm-hmm. And I think admitting that I'm responsible for me and no one else is responsible for how my life gets lived because I'm the one living it.
That's right.
That's what was empowering. Because then at that point, when I realized I'm responsible for my happiness, no one else's opinion of me can matter.
That's
like
right.
I posted, you know, those meme pages. There was one on there about a girl never texts first for sex. And I literally, all I said was incorrect. And the page creator tagged me to the top. And like, there was a lot of people laughing or saying like, can you even have sex? And I got to use it as an opportunity to educate. Well, then there was one person, he's like, you're Kim Kardashian looking like Helen Keller. And I'm like, well, Helen Keller was an incredible woman. So thank you. And it's like, that's literally, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. There's 7 billion people in this world. And if I think that every single one of them is going to find me attractive, like me, like what I put out or any of that, I'm out of my mind. It's just absolutely impossible. So when you let go of this idea that everyone has to like you or everyone has to agree with you, it's powerful because now no one can knock you down.
I love that. I love you. Drop so many nugget after nugget after nugget. And it's just incredible because I think this is the type of stuff that people need to hear, you know, whether you're in a wheelchair, or you're not in a wheelchair, whether you're going through a struggle or not going to struggle or going through a struggle, this is the type of stuff that people need to hear. So, because eventually you're going to go through some type of struggle, whether you like it or not. Right. But I think that people need to understand, you said a couple of key things that I'm just going to list out real quick. You said finding a support group, right? Finding a support group of people who may have been through what you've been through, because then you can kind of get some different perspectives. And then also surrounding yourself with people that are already where you want to be. Now, do you have access to Gary Vee? Do you have access to Eric Thomas? Probably not, but you have access to their content, to their Facebook, their Instagram, their YouTube, and you can consume the wisdom and information that they're giving you.
And it's free.
Platforms. And it's free. Absolutely, it's free, right? And then also, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said fear. I think fear is one of the biggest, you know, opponents of people that keeps them stuck. And once you can really understand that you have to live your life, you're responsible for your life. No one else is going to live your life for you but you. I think once you wrap your head around that concept, that gives you the power and the boldness and the courage to go out and live your life to the fullest. So I love that, man. I love, and I appreciate you mentioning all of those things. One of the other things I wanted to mention when I was reading your blog, it actually made me laugh because it was so funny, but it was 10 things that people in wheelchairs don't want to hear. And I'm telling you, you were spot on with all 10 of them. I was like, oh my gosh, this girl, she knows what she's talking about. And one of them was that, you know, when people say, it's so nice to see you in public, you're such an inspiration. And then you said, this is nothing but discouraging. We are supposed to be, no, you said, are we supposed to be a recluse because we use a wheelchair? Am I inspiring for continuing life after an obstacle? Tell me I'm inspiring for all the cool stuff that I do, not for pumping my gas. I thought that was so cool because, and I get that. Like, I get that all the time as well. Like, oh my gosh, you're so inspiring because, like, and it's like so cliche type of stuff, right? It's like, oh, because you did this or oh, because you did that. And it's like normal stuff to other people. But it's like, yeah, like, tell me I'm inspiring for all the impact that I'm making across the world, not just for getting out of my bed and getting into my wheelchair and doing normal things, right?
Right. I went to, my family's in town, and we went to the Biltmore House here in Asheville yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I had someone tell me, thank you for coming out and enjoying this. And I'm just like, you know, you're welcome.
Sometimes you just got to keep it moving.
Yeah, it just doesn't, and that's that ideology that people with disabilities are not equal or not able to live life, which I was guilty of it before I was paralyzed. I had a patient that actually had a spinal cord injury. I worked for an orthodontist. And every time he came in, I remember thinking, man, what does his life look like? He's so young. That's so sad. And this kid's living the sickest life ever. Like, what? And just because that was my immediate reaction to him being a wheelchair user was that his life was not cool. And so it's just breaking that stigma of, hey, we still do normal things. We have sex, we have relationships, we have jobs, we go out or we drive, we live our life, we travel, and making people realize, hey, our life continues on, disability or not. You know, we're still here existing. What do you want us to do? Stay home? Absolutely not. We're going to go out. We're going to advocate for change, and we're going to live the best life we know possible. And I think that really this could start in our education system. And that's something that I really would like to impact and change our whole, what we do from grade school on. Like, we need to teach these kids the power of goal setting from kindergarten on. The power of having effective goals, of letting go of judgment, not letting other people's opinion of you value you. Because think about the amount of kids get bullied between the internet, which is now a bigger issue, and in school. And it's like teaching these kids mental grit from a young age, adding disability civil rights movement to history class. Let's educate people about people with disabilities and how they rise up and how they went and sat on the stairs until the ADA was passed. Like, that's come on, why are we still being excluded? And why are we not giving our children the power to rise up and live life, showing them that any life they want to live is possible, taking away this participation award and putting hard work back into school, back into sports, If you work hard, life will reward you. If you continue to play the victim mentality, you will get the victim mentality. Let's teach them the power of manifestation. You give the world is what you get back.
That's right.
Yep. We need to bring the realization and the mental awareness to people. That is what is missing in society. And then we need to add back in, hey, physical activity makes your mood better. Hey, instead of giving you an antidepressant or for your type 2 diabetes, instead of giving you insulin, how about you try and do a lifestyle change? Here's some recipes you could use. Here's some ideas for meal plans from breakfast to dinner. Try this for a month and let's get you back here in a month and see how your diabetes is doing. Why are we making people dependent on medications and prescriptions? We need to practice a better healthcare system. There's just so much that needs to improve for the people.
That was one of the things I read too in your blog when you were talking about the why you wear pull-ups. You were mentioning in there is also about that nurse who was getting upset with you because you stopped taking the medication because it wasn't making you feel right. And so instead of you continuing to not feel right and continuing to take this medication that probably wasn't benefiting you at anyhow, you found an alternative.
Right, which I did actually, they were willing to work with me. I think it was last year I went back because after a year, my bladder actually shrunk. So I was able to hold about a 12 ounce soda can of urine in my bladder and that's it. And then I would just pee myself automatically. And so I actually am back on medication, but it's a better brand. But then I lost my prescription drug coverage because I'm trying to work my way off of the system completely. And I have to pay, it's $400 a month between my 3 bladder spasm meds because I lost that supplement insurance. And I don't even care. I don't want to have to rely on the government. They want to keep you right here and they want to just continue to keep people right here so they have all the power. And we live in so much fear of losing that assistance, of losing that help. And we've got to be empowered as Americans between our low income and the disabled community. Imagine if we taught our kids mental grit from the beginning in school, how much better they would come out in the end, how much less there would be that crutch of, well, I grew up this way, or I have this, or I have that. My parents weren't together. And so, or my parents did this because I used that crutch. My mom's a truck driver and my dad's her dispatcher. Like, I don't come from money. I didn't get money in my settlement. I wasn't handed anything. And I've literally just worked my ass off to get to where I am. And I think that's a huge misconception of, oh, well, they have it, so they were handed it. Yeah. No, you didn't see the last 5 years of me trying to figure it the hell out. And that's, I think that often is missed as well. Hey, hard work gets people to where they are. A lot of people aren't handed their circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get the same type of feedback as well. Like people will see me and they'll automatically think that I'm on government assistance or disability, or they'll think that my wife is my sister and my kids are my brothers. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, what, a guy in a wheelchair can't have a wife and kids and a family and drive a car and be independent and be successful? Like, come on now. Like,
that's just because you look so young.
I know, right? That's probably what it is. But, you know, like even the other day, my wife and I went somewhere and someone asked me, you know, they was like, Jose Flores? And I said, yeah, I'm Jose. And she said, how do you spell your last name? So I spelled the last name for her. And then she went to my wife and started asking my wife questions about me. And my wife was like, you can go ask him. He can talk. You just ask him a question. Didn't you see he answered you? Go, like, if I wasn't capable of continuing on a conversation or answering questions intelligently, I'm like, this type of stuff just blows my mind. But sometimes I'm like, you get to a certain, when I was younger, man, that used to fire me up. But now I'm at a point where I'm a little more calmer and I just kind of like, you know, brush things off my shoulder and I don't let it affect me how it used to affect me. Because I'm telling you, that thing I used to go from 0 to 10 when people used to treat me like that. But now I'm a little more calmed down and I'm like kind of like you, how you did with the lady who's like, oh, well, thank you, you know, and I just kind of keep it moving.
I mean, sometimes, you know, you take that opportunity to educate them why their behavior is it. Why it could be better, or why, you know, hey, you know, this could come off really disrespectful, but never once, and this brings me back to the ableism, I'm like, never once have I labeled somebody an ableist. It's pure ignorance. Yeah. Because you have to think about our parents, how they were raised to think of people with disabilities. I remember my sisters, I have a sister who's your age, and then my younger sister who's 14 months younger than me. And they both, we were at the beach, and I'm like, oh, I want to get on a paddleboard. Well, they went, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? I could sit on it. And it's like, that's our immediate thought of like, wait a minute, you can't be put in danger. But in reality, we're in the same amount of danger as an able-bodied person. Like, don't create our reality for us. Let us show you. Let us try. Yes.
They're creating a limitation for you.
Exactly. And it's like, just give us the opportunity to fail. And if we fail, then cool. At least we tried it. But if you take that opportunity away from the beginning, and that's with anything, you know, the parents who pull their kids away, let your kids ask questions. Let them touch our wheelchair. Let them be inquisitive, because by you pulling them away makes them think, oh, no,
you're going to catch that. I have to be afraid of them. I get that all the time too. Like when I'm around kids, they're like afraid of the wheelchair. Like they don't want to come close. And I'm like, no, it's okay. And sometimes I even give them rides on the back. Yeah. Like I let them climb on the back and I give them a ride around. Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you about, you know, as we get the wrapping up, cause like I said, I want to be respectful of your time. But when we you have this foundation called Wheel With Me Foundation. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to highlight that, because I think it's a phenomenal foundation and for a phenomenal cause, because I'm all about helping, dependent people become more independent, right? At the end of the day, that's what we want. We want to be able to drive. We want to be able to live on our own or have a family that we can have our own home with and those type of things. And so tell us a little bit about Wheel With Me Foundation, how that started and how people can that are interested in helping out can reach out to you and help out.
So Wheel With Me Foundation came to be, I used to race off-road, and one of my sponsors, Justified Cultures, was like, oh, we'll make clothing and we'll sell it and donate it to a nonprofit of your choice. Well, I'm like, I really want to help somebody that serves spinal cord injuries finding their independence. And we couldn't find anything. So she's like, well, how about we create our own nonprofit? So we created the Wheel With Me Foundation. And then I actually took over fully as the director this year. And our whole entire mission has just changed. So we're currently in the process of getting our 501c3 status. And we have changed our mission to serving all wheelchair users finding independence. So we have an individual who runs a domestic violence support side, a substance abuse support side. We have peer-to-peer support. We're working on building a lobbying group. I'm working personally, my side of Wheel With Me is the transitional community for wheelchair users, I want to build a community where we teach wheelchair users how to be wheelchair users from other wheelchair users. No PTs, no doctors, no nurses. Like, we're getting you the real, this is what it's going to look like when you're home. So basically,
other people who have been in the trenches.
Right. So like people with MS, or, and I believe people with MD, they never learn how to be a wheelchair user. It's like one day you wake up and it's like, crap, I'm too weak to walk. What do I do now? And, you know, seeing my friends not be able to transfer, and they're like, well, how can you show me how you do this? And, well, how do you get dressed? And hearing these questions, I'm like, wow, we're an underserved community. And it's giving us the confidence to be independent. That's where it starts. As soon as you give someone some hope and confidence, game changer, look out, they're coming to take over the world. And it happens every time. So if we can just together serve that population. And my thing is together. I'm so sick of seeing divide everywhere, and there's so much strength in numbers, which is why people try to divide us, because the more people you have working together, the more people that are going to be impacted, empowered, and continue to work together. So my goal is to bring the community together. So if anyone has anything to add, if they want to join Wheel With Me Foundation, you want to serve the wheelchair population in a certain way, please, please, please reach out to us, email us, because we want to offer everything to the wheelchair user. It's like a one-stop shop of this. What do you need? All right, we've got you. Here it is. Oh, veteran support? We got you. Here it is. Like, you need to know how to navigate the VA? My girl, Kara, she's got you. Like, she's a pro. And I just want to have these people that have lived through it, are proficient in their specific specialty of being a wheelchair user. So a wheelchair user with an addiction, a wheelchair user that's been through domestic violence, a wheelchair user that's a veteran and needs help navigating the VA, a wheelchair user in general that just needs help.
Yeah.
Want to be able to serve you.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm glad to hear, to be honest, I'm glad to hear that you changed your mission from helping just those with spinal cord injuries to all those with wheelchair situations, because I know for me, there was a time where I needed a new motor for my wheelchair, and I just couldn't, I didn't have the money, and there wasn't any resource. And I was reaching out to I literally Googled like wheelchair nonprofits or nonprofits that help wheelchair. And then a lot of them were just spinal cord injury. And then you'd reach out and they were like, well, what's your condition? And you tell them like, oh, we're sorry, we only help people who have, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer, you know, but I finally found one that helped me. And so I'm glad to hear that you switched it up, because I think that's going to give you more opportunity to reach a larger demographic of wheelchair users.
And that's my goal. The more that we're empowered as a community, the more we stop using our disability as a crutch. This is not a crutch. This is an empowerment tool. And if you use it, if this is a tool, and if you use it correctly, it's game changer. I mean, your life, you can literally live any single life you want to live, except for the walking one, right? Like, it's like you can have whatever life you want to have as a wheelchair user. And if we give people this confidence, we're going to take over. I said that the LGBTQT, I think that's right, the alphabet crew had their decade last decade. The minority racial community is having their decade this decade. 2030, we're coming for you. The disabled community is rising up, and I'm like, I'm running. I'm taking Madison Cawthorn. We're running for president, vice president. Here we come.
I love it. I love it. And you're right. I just read an article, I think yesterday or the day before, where there was another African American wheelchair user who was breaking into the acting.
Wesley Hamilton, probably.
I'm not sure.
Kansas City.
Huh? Kansas City, that's right. Yeah.
Wesley Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah, I read that article and I was like, yeah, that's right, you go, girl. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot more awareness around the disability community, and especially for those like you and I and so many others that are really going out there and attacking life like never before and living our best life. And for us to be that core group of people that's going to just empower all the other ones that are out there. So I definitely appreciate what you're doing. One of the things I loved about looking you up and some of your information was that when I was reading your bio, it said her goal is simple. Show the world there is an opportunity in their obstacles and restoring hope during life's difficult moments. And I think that even right now for COVID, whether you're in a wheelchair or not, everyone's experiencing or has experienced, at least in the onset of COVID, some companies flourished and made billions and some, you know, unfortunately didn't, but everyone experienced a difficult moment when this thing all started. So I love the fact that it's about restoring hope during life's difficult moments, and whatever those difficult moments may look like as we go on. So I appreciate you, and I love that goal. It's definitely a simple one, just restoring hope. I love it. And at the end of the day, like as a speaker, people will call me a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker. I'm also an author, but at the end of the day, Jesse, I'm just like you. We're just both messengers of hope.
We're just here serving. We're doing God's work, and that's what I believe in. I believe that the Lord has a bigger purpose for me, and he's using me to spread his message, spread what he wants for humanity. He wants us to work together. He wants us to love one another, love thy neighbor. And we have to really just hone in on that and hold that close to our heart, love each other, because at the end of the day, who do we have if we don't have other human beings, you know? That's right. And did want to touch on the acting thing. So I actually was signed to a talent agency at the beginning of this year. I've had two different gigs. Save Rosemary 3 is a movie that an independent film I'm in. It should come out early January. And then Date Me is about a girl in a wheelchair and her dating experience. I'm actually the bad guy in the series. And that pilot episode is looking to come in, I believe, the end of January, beginning of February. And all I did was I went to an open call and I did an audition, got a call back. They sent me to an acting boot camp and then they signed me shortly after. And so I still attend a weekly acting class. And so if acting is something that you're interested in, definitely take the courses, train, learn how to become a better actor, record yourself doing monologues, record yourself doing scenes, rewatch them, see where you can improve. And it's amazing what acting, it's just amazing that you can just literally, you can do anything you want to do in the world. I'm like, I want to be an actor. Let me go to an open audition and take some classes. And now here I am. I've had two different things, and it's like, oh, you want to go into government, which government's something I don't enjoy politics. I never did, but I am sick of sitting on the sidelines and watching this country that I love. I love being an American. I think that we're very fortunate in America. We have a lot of freedom, which I think is lost. A lot of people are using that freedom incorrectly. And I just really want to restore hope for America and for Americans, because I love this country so much. And that's why, you know, print out my application to go to Congress, got to pay that fee, and I'm applying to be put on the ballot. Like, it's just amazing that when you put effort and work into something, you're rewarded tenfold. I've made almost straight A's. I've made one B in my four classes. I took 12 credit hours this fall on top of everything else I do, and I've made one B. The rest are A's. That's like, awesome. I carry a 3.5 GPA. I mean, I'm busting my ass to be successful and to make myself proud at the end of the day. I'm so proud of who I am, who I'm becoming, and who I'm continuing to grow into. And if you can figure out what you're proud of you for, you're limitless. And then you just keep leveling up. That level just keeps getting higher and higher. I'll tell you what.
I love it. Well, congratulations. I'm super proud of you. I'm just so fortunate to be able to hang out with you for a little bit and to have met you. At least virtually, hopefully we'll meet each other in person one day soon. But, you know, for that person, Jesse, as we wrap this up, for that person that's listening right now and they're enjoying the conversation and they love the episode and all the information we've given out, but they still may feel a little, like I hear what they're saying and I know it. Like, what would you tell that person that's listening right now that wants to win, that's having a hard time figuring out how to win? What would you tell that person that's listening right now?
My first question is, what do you have to lose? My second, get a notebook, write down your top five massive goals. What overall do you want to accomplish? Do five pages, put the goal at the top of the page, leave the rest of the page blank. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take that massive goal and you're going to break it down. How can I get there? What are some small steps, small, like 20 minute at most, task that you can do just to get you a little bit closer, to move that scale just a little bit towards that goal? And once you complete a couple of those small tasks, you're gonna be like, wow, this is actually obtainable. I could do this. And it's just building that confidence. Don't focus on, we get so caught up in that big goal that we never want to start. Break that shit down. Break it into something that you could, in bite-sized pieces. What can I do today to get me to where I want to be tomorrow?
That's right.
And really live with that mindset each day. What can I do today to get me to where I want to be tomorrow? And paying attention, keep yourself accountable. I have a whiteboard in my bedroom, a massive whiteboard with a list of things I need to do in the day. I have a chalkboard in my bathroom with my main goals in it. And I look at that every day. I have my vision board right above my whiteboard. I sit and stare at that for like 10 minutes every day and just feel it. You have to feel where you want to be. You have to realize, why not you? Mm-hmm. It's absolutely possible for you to live whatever life you want to live. You just have to be willing to work for it. You. No one else can do it for you.
I love it. Well, there you heard it, folks. Jesse, where can people get more information about you, your foundation, your social media, your website? Go ahead and let everyone know how they can get in touch with you if they want to donate or help out in any way, or just follow you because you're super cool and you give some good information out.
Thank you. You can find Wheel With Me Foundation. It's wheelwithmefoundation.org or at Wheel With Me on all social media platforms. If you look up the hashtag Wheel With Me, you'll also be able to find Wheel With Me Foundation, Wheel With Me Consulting, and me. You can find me at Jesse Straham. That's JesiStraCham. And that's on all platforms. And my website's jessestraham.com, which we do have a small store. There's a calendar that offers some tips on how to stay aligned with your goals throughout the years. We have merchandise. I have a small fitness clothing line. And I have great blog posts. You can see why I'm who my hero is. That was my most recent one. I'm actually going to do one on where sports arena funding comes from. That one's going to post later this week. So I just like to share a lot of things. And if you have questions or you're struggling, just inbox me. And it might not be right away, but I promise I do respond to every message, and I'm here for you guys. I want to see people succeed at the end of the day. That's all. I want to see people live the best life possible.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, like she said, she definitely does respond, because I reached out to her. I slid into her DMs and asked her if she can be on, and she responded. And so she definitely responds. So I appreciate you so much, Jesse. I hope that that you continue to do massive things. I hope that I get to see you in Congress, and I hope to be able to stand with you and making a change for the disability community, and so that we can go ahead and live the lives that we want to live and help others to live the same lives that they want to live as well. So thank you again for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Jesse Strawham, live and in person with massive value. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.